faith in the pit. I actually asked, when we talked about what faith, the faith series, I said, Pastor Wes, I want to preach on this, faith in the pit. Ugh, those are muddy shoes, aren't they? I thought that was a good picture to, you know, when you're coming out of that pit, you still have that grime all over you. And man, sometimes there's reminders when we've been in the pit, but sometimes those reminders are good things, aren't they? If we go to the next slide, what are the things that you're struggling with this morning? Well, I put a few things down. I'm reminded of this pit here in the story we read about Joseph. And a lot of us, I'm sure, know the story of Joseph. He has a beautiful coat, and his brothers all hate him, and we're going to get to that part of the story. But sometimes in life, we face all kinds of things, and we feel like we're in a pit, and there's walls all around us, and nobody can understand, and nobody gets it, and I'm all alone, and woe is me. Well, anxiety? An accident happens? Maybe you're struggling with an addiction? There's a challenge in life or a crisis? Maybe recently you've had a death in the family? Depression? Mental health is really hard to deal with. Divorce? Doubt? Lack of job? Finances? Marital issues? Panic attacks? Problems in relationships? Sickness or pain? Maybe you're just stressed out. You got weight problems? Those are just some things that I listed, and I thought, man, I could probably list a whole lot more. But I'm sure there's probably something on that list at one point in time in your life that you can relate with. I know I sure can. I sort of starred a few of the things that I wanted to talk about today. Anxiety, panic attacks, stress. In prayer this morning, and if you missed out, you really missed out in prayer. You need to be there at 10 o'clock in the prayer room because there's some good stuff going on in there. Anna, you bless me every week. You talked about what is your Goliath? What are you facing this morning? Go ahead. With some people, when it comes to life and it gets them down, they think of Disney. You know the story of Nemo? Well, that's Dory. And Dory says, when life gets you down, do you know what you gotta do? You just keep swimming. Hallelujah. Is that what you do? Or what about the next one? When life knocks you down, roll over and just look at the stars. Like, don't deal with it. Who cares? Just look, you know, chill out. Okay, but this next slide is for our youth and young adults particularly. When life gets you down, when you think you've had enough, when you feel bruised and beaten, notice he's got the boxing gloves on, use Photoshop. See? Now you're awesome. Can you imagine going in the lake and all right, honey, I brought home a shark for you today. Man, sometimes you wish that's how life would be, but it not always is it? Well, faith in the pit, it brings obstacles. A huge obstacle for most people is the negative way that they look at problems. See, if you think that problems are completely threatening or that having them is a sign of weakness or failure and you see yourself as a bad problem solver, guess what? You're not going to solve the problem. Because what you're saying is you're saying, I'm done, I'm weak, and there's no way out. But really, is that your voice? Maybe. But I'd like to suggest today that the liar, Satan that he is, likes to put those thoughts in your mind. It's not God's voice to say, yeah, you're weak, you're done. No, there is a way out. There is a way. And we heard through an exhortation word this morning that the love of God reaches to the lowest hell, to the deepest, darkest pit. The love of God reaches in and says, yes, there is a way out. You don't have to feel done. You don't have to feel weak. I can reach down and grab hold of you. I can help you. Do you need help with your faith when you're in the pit? Yes. Are you in a pit? Do you have a struggle this morning? Because if you do, you're human. But what about getting out of the pit? Well, we look to the story of Genesis, chapters really 30 to 50. I'm amazed when I was looking at my Bible last night, 20 chapters. Sort of, there's other little stories sometimes in between, but 20 chapters at least deal with the story of Joseph. And I always think, like, there's the beautiful coat of many colors, and who knows if it actually looked like that, but it was a good picture from Google. And some of you have probably seen the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat where he spins around and he sings, and yeah, maybe it was like that, but I think if Joseph would have been interviewed for a newspaper, you know, what would the byline be? I can just see him saying, he's describing how they threw him in the pit and it was awful. And then all of a sudden I looked up and it all happened right before my eyes and there was nothing I could do. And I think, yeah, that's how stress, crisis, anxiety, depression, lack of job. They just all of a sudden, there you go. You got to deal with it. Well, if we look at the story of Joseph, Wesley, you did a great job reading this morning. Joseph's faith in the pit. Now, I don't know, again, if the cistern or the well was that deep. They said there was no water in it. So I wonder if that means that it was pretty hot and dry in that area. Okay, but here Joseph is 17 years old. His brothers all hate him. I always tell my kids, don't use the word hate. It is like one of the worst words ever made, because how can you ever hate something so much? Some even wanted to kill him. They stripped him of his beautiful robe. Like, give me that! And they ripped it apart. Because it was something that his father lovingly gave to him. He was seen as the chosen one, the most loved. And the brothers didn't like that. So they decided to throw him in the cistern, or well. There was no water in it, so I said, was it hot? The Bible doesn't say anything specific, but come on. All of a sudden, you're sort of cast away from your family and you're in this cistern. They've thrown you in there and I'm sure you're bruised and beaten up a little bit from falling down and maybe some blood on your knees. And I'm sure he was feeling alone and scared. And guys, what are you doing? Why? Hello, this is no funny joke. What's happening? And he sat there. What's going through his mind? Well, later in the story, it says he's sold as a slave for money to traders who take him to a different country. Can you really hate somebody that much? Your own flesh and blood? And then eventually, we know the story, he's sold again to Potiphar, and the story just keeps going on. He's taken from his loving father. His brothers tell Jacob, the father. They tell him by asking him to look at the robe, do you think this is Joseph's? Well, how do you think he's going to answer? Yeah, that's my son. And he tore his clothes and he was in sack and thank you, I said it backwards. Sackcloth and ashes. I'm like, sack, sass. So anyways, he was upset. They allowed their father to believe that a ferocious animal had killed him. And guess what? The story keeps going from there. That's just the beginning. Man, are you in the pit? Think about how Joseph felt in his pit. Now, these next couple of slides, I thought, oh, do I just give little points? But I think it's way better to let you look at the whole thing while I read it. What is stress? Stress is your body's way of responding to any kind of demand or threat. So when you sense danger, whether it's real or imagined, the body's defenses kick into high gear in a rapid automatic process known as the fight or flight reaction, or the stress response. The stress response is the body's way of protecting you. And when working properly, it helps you stay focused, energetic, and alert. In an emergency situation, stress can save your life. It gives you an extra strength to defend yourself, or it can spur you to slam those brakes to avoid the accident that might be happening in front of you. It can also help you to rise to meet any challenges, like it keeps you on your toes during a sermon. It sharpens your concentration when you're attempting that game-winning move. It drives you to study for an exam when you'd rather be watching TV. But beyond a certain point, stress stops being helpful and starts causing major damage to your health. It affects your mood, your productivity, your relationships, and your quality of life. I love that little slogan. Good morning! Let the stress begin! Let's start our day! And that's not how God wants it. In the next slide, it shows the fight or flight response. I just want to talk about what happens in the body. Because if you understand this, you'll maybe be a little bit under, be ready to more respond when something happens. When you feel threatened, okay, whether it's perceived or it is real, your nervous system starts responding by releasing a flood of stress hormones, including adrenaline and cortisol, which rouse the body for emergency action. It like kicks it into gear, and your heart starts pounding faster, and your muscles, they all tighten, and your blood pressure rises, and you start breathing quicker and quicker, and your senses become sharper, like, what's going to happen? Is there a bear around? What's happening? What's going on? And your body's just going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And these physical changes increase your strength and your stamina, your speed, your reaction time, and enhance your focus, preparing you to either fight what you've got to fight against or run from the danger at hand. But what if there's no danger at hand? Well, anxiety. That's a big one. The reason I say sometimes the threat can be there or not there, because sometimes what happens is a whirlwind or a cyclone just keeps happening. So you have a thought. Okay, my daughter went to camp this week, my older daughter. And if I was anxious about it, it would be start with, okay, my daughter's going to camp. Oh, we have to take a boat ride to get there. Oh, well, what if the captain isn't very experienced at driving the boat? Okay, what if they don't have enough life jackets in the boat? Like, what if she doesn't get a life jacket? I mean, she's a good swimmer, but what happens if all of a sudden there's no other boats around? Or what if all of a sudden there's a storm that happens? Or what if all of a sudden it just, oh my goodness, like, that can happen. You take a thought, and it just begins to multiply of, hey, what about this? What about this bad thing? What about this bad thing? Can you go to the next slide? This one kind of looks complicated, and I hope you can read it from the back, but I thought this is, I love how they explain it. See, you start relaxed and calm until something activates your anxiety. And that can be a normal reaction, right? Hey, my daughter's going to camp. Isn't that great? Yeah, she's going to have a great time. But then I go, oh, she's going on a boat. Well, that's a normal reaction. So what do I do with that? What do I do with that thought when it comes to my mind? Well, if I'm going through anxiety, first of all, my sensory organs perceive a potential danger. Sometimes you might feel that your hands kind of tingle. It feels like there's, like it's asleep. You might get it like that. Or maybe your stomach feels a little queasy. And what happens is your brain is responding with the fight or flight, right? Like your blood pressure is rising and your stress hormones are being released. And the brain sends signals to your body to prepare it for danger. Well, down here, the body is producing these anxious thoughts and sensations and symptoms. And your senses perceive the symptoms as dangerous. And slowly, the blood's being pulled away from your muscles because it's going to the place where it needs it most. And then all of a sudden, your brain, it registers, there's a danger, and your body is revving up. And you're like, all of a sudden, ooh, I'm feeling lightheaded, and I can't breathe very well. And as all of this is happening, do you see in the middle? There's that red circle, and it's going around and around. And once you perceive your symptoms as threatening, you become scared of those symptoms, and your mind reacts with the anxiety response, which creates more symptoms, and the cycle just continues. So if you've ever faced anxiety, you're not alone. And you know what? Just because maybe you've had this once, doesn't mean it's always going to be there. But I think we as Christians need to be prepared because there's more and more people that have mental health issues that are in our workplace, that are coming to church, and you know what? Our kids are dealing with it too. Next slide. So where is your stress meter? Are you pretty relaxed and you're coping well? Or if all of a sudden you're getting a little more stressed, maybe you're dealing with anxiety. Maybe a panic attack. Well, 25% of us all deal with anxiety over our lifetime. Phew, I'm normal. You're normal. Mental illness? We all of a sudden get scared when somebody says, oh, they've got mental illness. Oh, they've got anxiety. Oh, they've got depression. Oh, they're dealing with... But you know what? We need to get rid of that stigma. That if you have a mental health issue, there's something really wrong. A panic attack, right from the dictionary, panic attacks, is a sudden feeling of acute and disabling anxiety. So one day I go to McDonald's with my kids, and we're eating. And I still like McDonald's, I'm sorry. I just, you know, there are times where I'm like, okay, we've had enough, but I still love McDonald's. So, I think I had a Big Mac and I'm eating my French fries and we're just sitting there. And there were two boys sort of within my peripheral view sitting over here. Now, they were probably grade 12-ish, maybe young adult age, okay? And this just happened in the last number of months. And they were talking, and they were getting a little carried away in what they were talking about, and I'm just kind of watching, because, you know, I'm the type of person, I know this probably will not, or you probably will, if you know me at all, it won't surprise you, but if somebody's going to start swearing and, you know, being crazy, I will speak to that. But, yeah, the odd swear word, and I was like, okay, well, I'll just keep watching it. And, you know, you're there, but you're also kind of what's going on, and you're listening. And anyways, this one boy says something to the other boy, and he starts to, like, that can't happen. No, there's no way. Like, are you sure? And he starts getting anxious about whatever they're talking about. And honestly, I didn't know what they were talking about. I would just hear the odd word. And so I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, well, what's happening? What's going on? And oh my goodness, and are you sure? Because I'm going to be in a lot of trouble, and this girl, and blah, 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 and they just, whatever they're talking about. And all I could see was he was just His breath was laboring, and he was just like, "Oh my goodness!" And he's like, "I'm shaking, man. I don't know what's going on, and I can't feel my hand." Like, oh, well, I knew exactly what was going on. I've had a panic attack before, and let me tell you, if you've ever had one or seen someone, it is debilitating. It's awful. It is literally from the pit of hell. And so this young person is dealing with this. And you know what? I just got up and I just looked at him. I said, "What's your name?" Let's say his name's Aaron. "Aaron, you're having a panic attack, but you're going to be okay. And what I want you to do is I want you to focus on my eyes and I want you to start breathing." He started looking, "Who is this lady and what's going on and why is she talking to me? This is McDonald's." But you could tell he was so scared someone needed to help him. The guy beside him is just sort of like, "Oh, like, what do I do?" Like, you know, "Well, guy, like, you're okay, you're fine, you know, like, don't worry about it. Like, don't, like, that's nothing, you know." And he was trying to put it down, but here, this Aaron, he needed help. So I'm like, "Look at me in the eyes. Focus. Now I want you to take a deep breath in. Deep as you can. And now let it out. Okay? Do it again with me. Trust me." And as I'm talking to him about breathing, he's slowly relaxing. And the blood's starting to come back to his fingers. And the tingling's going away. "Try it with me. Take a deep breath in. And let it out slowly. Isn't she supposed to be preaching right now?" Yeah, I am preaching because I think this is really important. Because I think it's important that if we as Christians can be out there in the McDonald's and the places where people are struggling with different things in their life and we can help them, how better yet are we able to bridge that gap and then to say, "Hey, now, can we talk?" So, pretending like you're smelling this beautiful flower and you're blowing out the candle. Now, nobody ever blows a candle out like this. Because if you do, you know the wax is going everywhere. So you blow it out slowly, right, ladies? So breathe in. And slowly let it out. If you're ever having anxiety, that's the best thing to do. If you're having a panic attack, get somebody to look at you and focus on your breathing. Because the biggest thing that's happening is the oxygen is going to get back in circulation and your body's going to come down and say, "Oh, it's not a threat. I'm going to be okay." I have a beautiful friend who called me and actually she texted me. Emailed me. I always get them all mixed up. And I know, I'm older, I'm sorry. She emailed me and she said, "I'd really like to come in and give a testimony, tell you a celebration moment." And I was curious. Oh, okay. Now this was several months ago. She didn't know we were doing a faith series. She didn't know that I wanted to do Faith in the Pit and talk about mental illness. But here's her story.
Hi, my name is Patricia. I'm a young adult at the church here. I've been coming here for a very long time. And I just wanted to share something that God's been doing in my life over the past couple of years. So ever since I was a kid, I've suffered from anxiety. It would manifest in different ways when I was a child. And usually if I'd go on something that, I don't know, like a roller coaster or a swing or a trampoline, and then I'd go to bed that night, I'd feel like I was in that motion every time I close my eyes, and I'd have a really difficult time falling asleep, and I'd be in this panic, and I'd have to get something to just calm my mind down, either like gravel or just like a placebo, like a vitamin C, just anything to just calm my mind down and help me sleep. And as I got older, I would start to, about the last, I'd say like about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I started to have really bad anxiety, just in different forms, I guess. I started having night terrors, and I would wake up in the middle of the night in just a complete panic. I would just not be in reality, and I'd be in that nightmare, and it would take me, I'd say, about an hour and a half to calm myself down to fall back asleep again. I would have to either like look on YouTube and find like a meditation video just to calm me down, or have like some sort of like beach waves or something to calm me down, and it would take quite a while. And I started to have these panic attacks throughout the day, that would started to be like every few days or so, and it got to a point about last January of 2016, that I would start having panic attacks like on a daily basis, and I would have these night terrors. Before it'd be maybe once every 6 months or once a year, and it became once every like couple of weeks. And I don't know if any of you have ever felt what it's like to have a panic attack, but it's like your body is like in a fight or flight mode, and you're like, I have this tightness in my chest, and I'm my body is like weak and shaky, and I feel like there's like guns in my head. Like I have no concept of reality except just this utter fear. And to have that on a daily basis, it's very difficult to deal with, and it would just come out of nowhere. And I would start to just avoid anything that might give me anxiety, and I would just be very fearful of everything all the time. And I got to a point in my life where I was having like physical ailments because of my anxiety, and I knew that I would have to start taking medication, and I didn't want to be dependent on it. And at that point in my life, I wasn't the closest to God. I consider myself more agnostic at that point. Like, I believed in him, but I wasn't following him really at all. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table one evening, and my mom, she was playing just worship music on her phone as we were just after eating dinner. And I remember this incredible peace that just washed over me, that I never felt that before forever. And every time I'd not have a panic attack, whenever I'd be able to get myself out of that, it would just be like a relief, or just like, okay, welcome to reality again. But to have that just a peace that I couldn't understand, it was just God saying like, hey, I'm here, like let me heal you. And so that was maybe like March or so last year, and so that's when I kind of just started my journey of getting back with him and starting to read my Bible every night and just pray every night. And whenever I'd have a panic attack, I would just pray, God, give me peace. And I would either like play worship music if I was in my room by myself, or I'd get my Bible out and just start reading just random scriptures, just to anything to like just calm myself down. And I had this expectation of God that I'd come to church and I'd pray for him to heal me, and I had this expectation that he would just heal me in that instant, just like a wash of healing, and I'd be like completely free from it. And so I kind of had that expectation, and I was always get a little frustrated when I'd go for prayer and just sit at the altar and wait for him to heal me, and he wouldn't. But as time went on, I realized that I was having panic attacks less. I was being able to sleep more. I'd have a really hard time falling asleep at night. I'd have to just either play a game or something just to numb my mind so I could fall asleep. And I realized that I wasn't having this panic as much anymore. And whenever I'd have a panic attack now, I would just pray, God, give me peace. And within like seconds, it would go away. If I'd wake up from a night terror, I would just play worship music, and within like maybe 10 minutes or so, I'd be able to fall back asleep again. And now it's gotten to a point in my life where if I wake up from a night terror, I just like say a worship song in my head, and within seconds I can fall back asleep again. And if I even just feel the onset of any sort of panic attack, just God, give me peace, and instantly it's gone. And I'm just so thankful for what he's done in my life. And it's made me realize that there's a reason that God took that long time to heal me, that it was several months, like from let's say March to maybe like September or August, that if he had just healed me instantly, I wouldn't have had that relationship like build up with him. So this is just reminding me also to not have this expectation of God and just trust in his timing.
Amen. That took a lot of courage. Thank you, Patricia. Nahum 1 verse 7 says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." So let's go through some steps to better mental health. The world is filled with uncertainty, so face these things that bother you. But what's manageable? Take gradual steps to do this. And if you need help, ask for it. See your doctor. If life feels like it's out of hand, maybe you need some medicine. And if you need medicine, take it. I've talked to too many people who say, "Oh, I'm feeling fine now, so I'm going to stop." But that's the time where you need to just keep it going. You need to stay on that even keel. Because if all of a sudden you stop taking your medicine, you're going to drop. Get resources, educate yourself, make it normal. Learn some strategies that it won't control you. Hey, we all need exercise. But you know what? Exercise dramatically affects and helps your brain. And everyone, get enough sleep. Turn off your phones. You know what? They say that you should turn off your electronic devices. Now, whether that includes the TV, I'm not sure yet. But turn it off an hour before you go to bed. How many people do that? Eat healthy. Number four, make sure what is in your thoughts are truth. And I want to stop here for a second. Scripture. How many, if you're dealing with any of these crises, do you know your scripture? Do you recall your scripture? Do you recall your memory verses? Are you spending time in the Word? Because that's one of the first questions I'm going to ask. Your thoughts are not facts. Don't believe everything you think, because who quickly wants to put a lie in your thought life? That's right, the devil. He wants to make it so close to the truth that you kind of go, "Oh, well, maybe that's truth," right? And that's where it starts. So don't believe everything you think. Always analyze your thoughts. Is it truth? Is it real? Hey, what are you thinking about? Well, Philippians 4, verse 8. I made my kids memorize this. "Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent, if anything is praiseworthy, think on these things." So what are you thinking about? Any of those things? What about journaling or talking it out loud when you're facing a struggle? Then you're more objective. Sometimes it's good to talk it out with someone. It's a way to get the thoughts out, and it becomes easier to challenge those thoughts. Hey, you know what? Your emotions aren't bad. Sometimes we get angry, and that's okay. It's saying that your body and your brain are upset that your expectations are or aren't being met. Spend time with positive people. Do you have a supportive person in your life? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a good friend. Find that person to talk to. And you know what? Take stuff off your plate. Say no! You can say no. And that's hard, because I am a people pleaser, and I'm constantly saying, "Don't worry, I'll get that done. Yes, oh, honey, yes, for sure, yes. And oh, I'll make supper tonight. And oh, yes, Pastor Wes, of course I'll do that." And a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about faith in the Bible, Matthew chapter 9, where Jesus said to the lame man, "Pick up your bed and walk." It was an immediate healing that took the faith of the men who brought him to Jesus to ask and believe that Jesus could heal. And I wanted to remind you of this story because, yes, he was healed, but how long had he been lame? It says that it took the faith of the men who brought him to Jesus. Will Jesus take this sickness from my life if I ask? Will Jesus take this anxiety, this depression, this stress from my life if I ask him? Will Jesus take all the problems and the financial problems and my marital issues and whatever else is bothering me? Will he take them all if I ask? Will he get rid of it so my life can be so awesome? Yeah, he can. Next slide. Where does faith fit in? We're in a faith series. Faith doesn't have to be hard or complicated, and faith can take time to learn depending on the outcome that you're believing for. But what do you do when you're faced with a situation that requires you to have faith? God, I'm dealing with anxiety, and I'm so done with it. Can you please take it away? Well, that's a simple prayer, and God can answer that prayer. But what about the travailing and the constantly praying, God, I can't get out of this pit. I'm so depressed. Life around me is horrible. It's awful. Please help me to have more faith. Well, the question is, we have a choice. Do we trust or do we doubt? Because it's a fork in the road. See, you come to a decision point. And do you surrender it? Do you give it all to God? But then there's the next slide. But what if he doesn't answer? What if he doesn't? What if? What if? I've still got to face all these things in my life, all these problems, all this stress. I still don't have a job. I still don't have a, I've had a divorce. I've got sickness in my life. He's not answering. Well, stop and just breathe. It's going to be okay. Because we don't know God's will. We don't know his plan. We don't know his timing. But we know that if we cast our cares on the Lord, he will sustain us and he will never let the righteous be shaken. I can hear an amen because you've been there. You have trusted God in faith. You have believed. And so from the past to the present, cast your cares on him. There is a book, Jesus Calling, by Sarah Young. And she says in at one point, if you could only see how close I am to you. It's like God the Father speaking to you. If you could only see how close I am to you and how constantly I work on your behalf, you would never again doubt that I'm wonderfully caring for you. This is why you must live by faith, trusting in me. See, every detail of your life, he's got it. It's under his control. He's taking care of you. So don't ever doubt that he's taking care of you, because he is. Maybe you haven't heard from him in a while. Maybe you need to go to him again. Feel the security of being enraptured by his presence. Let him in. Lean into him. Trust him. Find that peace. When I feel like I can't go any farther, I need to utter these four words, and I've said it to you before. I trust you, Jesus. Can you say that with me as loud as you can? I trust you, Jesus. Because what it does in your life is it releases everything under his control. No matter what you're facing, no matter the hardship, no matter the struggle, I trust you, Jesus. It gives him the rightful place in your life. John 16, verse 33 says, when I trust him, I can be unshakable, I can be assured, and I can be deeply at peace. Well, if that's truth, all around me can be turmoil, but when I say the name Jesus, peace flows way down into the depths of my soul. And the last slide, Genesis 45, verses 5 and 7. It's kind of near the end of the story, and Joseph's just revealed to his brothers who he is and that he can save them. He can give them the food that they need. And oh, guess what? You know what? I'm also your brother. Their mouths are wide open. Oh my goodness, he has all the authority in Egypt, and oh, he could kill us. And look what we did to him. But what does Joseph do? He responds, and now do not be distressed, worried, anxious. Put your word in it. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives. Oh, wait a minute. God had a plan? You mean when he was in that pit at 17 years old, and so many years later, he meets and reunites with all of his family, and he's rich, and he's got money, and all these things are happening and great, and it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. It wasn't just for you guys. It was for the many lives in Egypt and the surrounding countries. God sent me. So maybe your circumstance, what you're going through, all that yucky stuff, maybe God's sending you somewhere. Do you have the faith to believe that this morning? Man, I get so excited. God sent me ahead of you to preserve you for a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. It took so many years for God's purposes to shine through Joseph and his family's life. He never chose this path. You know what? I never wanted panic attacks or anxiety. I never chose it, never wanted it. He never chose the pit, but because of his never wavering faith, if you read through that story this week, you'll see he was unwavering in his faith to God. And he did even more than we could have asked or think. God did even more. Sometimes we need to look beyond ourselves and our circumstances, because God is moving. Can you bow your heads? God, you are moving. You are moving in our midst. You are awesome. Lord, I pray you would help us who have all of these problems in our lives. It's too many to list. But God, the things that are causing us the most stress or the most problem, I pray, number one, we would give that over to you right now, if we haven't already. May we turn to you this morning and just say, God, you can have it all. Because I want to live completely, holy, unwavering in my faith and my trust in you. You are here for me. You love me so much with an unending love. So Lord, I pray for your people this morning. I pray for me. Let me give you all of that. And in return, I know you will fill me up with your love, your peace, and you will give answers. And they might be slow answers, but you have said you will never leave us alone. So we cast all our cares on you because you care for us. And we thank you for that, Lord.